So for the record, could you please state your name and your ABC number for us?
My name is Troy Scott Goodwin, and my number is 247-298.
Okay, so we're going before the Arizona Board of Executive Planning. I'm going to introduce you.
I should know you.
So we're going before the Arizona Board of Executive Planning. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. Is that any better for you?
Yeah, a little bit. Yes, sir.
How's this, sir?
I can't hear anything.
How's this?
That's good.
Okay. So we're going to the Arizona Board of Executive Planning. I'm going to introduce you to the members of the board that are conducting your hearing today.
Okay, yes, sir.
Okay, sir, to my far left is the Honorable Louis C. Dunnings. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Miller. In the middle, we have the Honorable Dr. C. C. Ryan. We have the Honorable Sir. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be at the panel meeting today, sir. Also, we're just representing the Department of Election and Governor's Control Officer is Mr. Wesley, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is where we're finding your hearing today. We see the sign of notification, and by this we're doing this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you notified me of writing your hearing speech on your own behalf. Of the hiring of a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney to represent yourself today, sir?
Myself.
Sir, I'll say with us today, sir, and as a supporter, you do have a wonderful witness, Ricky Stewart, is here as a supporter. At this time, I'm going to swear on to hear the union, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Stewart, you down on speaking? Okay. All right, sir. So, do you solemnly swear, this is the honor of Mr. Stewart, do you solemnly swear, man?
He's going to have to be down to the ceiling.
Okay. Mr. Goodwin.
Yes, sir.
Can you listen, yes, sir? Can you see without the non-related of the meetings?
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Okay, do you saw this morning that they could be a whole truth and back again to fix so much time and do so much?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Goodwin. Yes, sir. All right. Who? Mr. Goodwin? Mr. Stewart?
Yes, I
do. All right. Mr. Wesley?
I do.
Okay. So in the hearing, Mr. Goodwin is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether you violated the terms and conditions of the supervision. In phase two, the board will determine whether the supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir.
You have one allegation.
Two allegations listed on the warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. But I need your allegation to you. I need you to say whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
The first allegation on the warrant states that you violated Arizona Judicial Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by the use of record on or about May 21st, 2016, per the task force in that slide report dated June 6, 2016.
Is this 2016 or 2018?
Sir, is that true or false?
I had a task.
Okay, so you said that's true or it's false, sir?
I do have a hearing, yes, but not much in task. It was the day I was released. It was the day that I had a heart attack and was in my kidney's failure. I was in ICU for 6 days. So, he came to the hospital and saw me there, and that's where my dirty hearing showed up.
Okay, so Mr. Goodwin? But I'm going to mark this as false because you're saying that it was in the hospital. According to this allegation, it was passed by the court dated June 6, 2016, essentially. So when you said it wasn't a task,
I had two years of task.
Okay. But I'm going to mark that as false.
Okay.
So the second allegation on the one states that you're with numbers, or you guys been sort of out of the table, saying for the commercial residents, at 9:40, walk around that in the beginnings, all the way about June 18, 2016, without a problem, we're going to sign the robots. But then there's no laws in them, and I'm asking you to stop it for 2 weeks. So is that true or boss?
That's true. I did that, but when I was released from hospital, that's why I went to a task. I mean, it was TLC, which had made me work, and I was in no condition to work. So they were going to kick me out back the next day, and I got scared, and I didn't come back here, and I didn't do my parole officer, which was just stupid. I was scared.
Okay.
Supervision end date of November 11th, 2018, which reflects 747 days. Current condition, 2015. Injury, 3, 2 years. Prior convictions, 2010. Escape, second degree, 1 year. This is the second term DOC, CUIR score 3-3, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2010, TIS release of standard, 244 days, revoked by the BOEC. The system of violations are minimal. Other arrests, 1991, DUI, Texas, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1992, criminal trespass, first degree, Texas, felony conviction, probation. 1996, dangerous drug violation, New Jersey, county jail. 1999, burglary, second degree, New Jersey, felony conviction, probation. 1999, theft, New Jersey, felony conviction, probation. 2003, prison assault with body fluids, New Jersey, felony conviction, state prison. 2008, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. This community score is a G3V4.
Thank you, Mr. Weston. Okay, Mr. Dillon, you are going to do some prison. You're approved for placement in TLC located at 9430 North 11th Avenue. During an intake, they discuss an option with you and you're given permission to reside at TLC. You didn't have any other address that was authorized by the PO. So did you work any time during that period of time?
No, sir. I was not able to work at that time.
Okay, and you were saying earlier that you had a heart attack or something happened. When did that happen, sir?
So the day I was released from prison, the last time that I had a heart attack, and both my kidneys shut down, and I was in the ICU for 6 days at Mount Boswell, and then 6 more days in the regular part of the hospital. And Dr. Olson came in and visited me. And then from there, I went to TLC. Still not in really good shape, you know, and I wasn't able to work, so they let me stay for a little while, but they were going to give me a door pretty soon because I was unable to work, and because of my health conditions, and that's what happened, and so I left, and got in and out of school, and didn't come back I went to a disability friend of mine, and my mom and I was at a caregiver for quite a bit, and she passed away not that long ago, actually. She was like 96, Dorothy. And then, so, I got tired of running, so I just seen a police officer, and I turned myself in.
Okay. So, you were released from prison on May 13th, is that right, sir?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
Okay, what did you do? You said that you had a heart attack in the hospital the same day?
That evening. We got around 11 o'clock that evening.
Okay, and so it was while you were in the hospital when CCO Phillips came to visit you, that's when he took the swab. How long had you been in the hospital?
When he came, I'd been in the hospital probably 7 or 7 days, because I was in ICU for 6 days. And then after that, you know, 6 more days in the regular part. He came to see me after I was moved out of ICU. I think so. I'm not quite sure. I was kind of out of it, not in very good shape. So he maybe he came when I was in ICU too, I don't remember that, but I remember him coming after the ICU and the regular part of the hospital.
Okay, so he did do a swab while you were there.
He
tested positive for methamphetamine because of that swab, the Bucco swab that he took and confirmed that you had methamphetamine. Did you use that after you got released from prison, sir?
That morning I did use just a very small sit down with him. I signed a release, you know, at the hospital for him to get all information from me. I don't know how I came to tell him to swab, because it was like days later, I'm pretty sure he didn't see me in ICU, but he knew he did. I said, I was out of it, I was in not good shape, so maybe he would see me in the ICU, I'm not quite remembering that. But I guess, you know, I did come up positive for that tonight. But I used to come up the day that I was released that morning, just a little bit. And then, like I said, I had a heart attack in the evening at like 11 o'clock. And I was rushed to the hospital from an emergency, in ambulance. So I called the ambulance, I called them from the Circle K, where the Circle K employees actually called them. I fell out there at first, it was okay, and that's when they, you know, told me I went to, and they came and got me home to the middle of the hospital.
Well, part of the army, the other said that you met a female, went out together, and she gave you a lot of romantic fun along with some aspirin, is that right?
That's true.
So who is this female? Is somebody you know, or just a friend?
It's someone, it's just,
How did you know that this female and the man did water and the man was dead?
She showed up to get me a ride, someone that I knew from the past. And she really, you know, took me up and that's just, you know, gave me some water and aspirin, and there was nothing, and that's what happened. So,
okay, so they also assigned you to do some counseling, weekly counseling, which you didn't attend, because you said you didn't have transportation, is that right?
I was in PLC after I got released from the hospital. All every this counseling, every day, meetings, all kinds of stuff. I don't know, they didn't really just tell me to go do any counseling. They just put me in PLC, where, you know, and that's what I did. I don't remember them asking me to go to counseling. I went to CASC after that, you know, they did urines and stuff, which I came up clean. You know, like, there's a lot of drugs in that TLC. It's not really, I don't know, I stay clean there, but it's not really a good place for them. Some people can't, I don't know how to do it. I did okay there until I wasn't able to work because my health was messed up, and it still is messed up. I thought I might have a bladder cancer, and I'm not getting treated in here, and I'm not getting treated for the Hep C that I have. I'd like to get some treatment, that would be great, because I'm not feeling too good, but that's about it.
Okay, so the service says you signed out of DLC and you never came back. Did you try to get shot? Did you try to do an assignment for 700 plus days for your assignment? What were you doing during that 700 days, sir, exactly?
I was a caregiver for an elderly woman, Debbie. Over office, like 75th and Camelback in a few weeks. I took care of her, in my shelter. I did everything for her. She was first from mine's mom, and that's what I did. She passed away now, but that's what I did.
So, what were you using during that period of time that you were out during that 700 plus days?
I was clean. I didn't do anything. I did smoke pot, so that's not totally true. I smoked marijuana.
Okay, so
I was going to try to get my marijuana card, but I didn't have the funds to get that, so, because I do have a lot of chronic pain and stuff, just diseases and other things to do, but I never got the card, but I still smoked.
So did you get any medical treatment during that 730 days that you were out, sir?
No, I was scared to go to the hospital. I was afraid that I would get arrested or something. I'm not too good around a lot of people, groups of people. I was kind of scared, and so I didn't do medical treatment. I should have, because I'm paying for it now. With possible bladder cancer and my Hep C and Hep A, but concerned with this disease, hypoglycemia. Just those things, I mean, I really should have taken care of that there. I wish I would have just did not take care of it here.
Okay, so Mr. Gilbert, well, it appears your PA was working with you and trying to came out to the hospital to see you, and he came into the office and trying to work with you, sir. And
yeah, he came to see me.
And then in 2010, you were an absconder for 236 days, so you certainly know the importance of making sure you maintain a relationship and stay in contact with your PO.
Yes, sir, I see that. I really should have, especially in those times, you know, this time I had, there's no excuse in 2010, this time, you know, I was scared when I mean, TLC was going to kick me to the curb anyway, because it's a working, you have to work there, and pay rent, and I wasn't able to do that due to my health, and so they were about to kick me to the curb, so I left, and then come back, which, and I didn't, once I started caregiving for Dorothy of 75th and Camelback, I should have reported that I was scared, and I thought they would just arrest me, and I was just taking care of her, that's all I did. Oh, no, she was a nice lady.
So, Mr. Goodwin, where were you at when the police, when you had contact with the police, where were you at?
I was went to 7-Eleven off of 75th and Camelback, and I flew them, and I went up, and I just turned myself in. I was at the lady in Dorothy, I was at her house, her daughter was there, and I was visiting, and I went to 7-Eleven, which is off of Camelback at 75th, where she was, and I turned myself in. I got tired of running, and I wanted to get this kind of over with, I wish I had gone to the hospital and been taking care of my health issues first. But I mean, to think to turn myself in, I should have done them both. But that's what happens.
All right, Mr. Gilbert, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Since you said it's coming from the board, sir, I'm going to go to your supporting mother, Ms. Booth, and Ms. Dixon, to give
yes, sir.
Her guest number. You can just come up here. I think we're going to turn that on, actually. But you can come up here and just say your full name and present whatever information you'd like to present to the board. Thank you.
Is this coming?
Yes, ma'am. Would you please just say your full name? Okay. Now go ahead.
So I'm Linda Horton. I actually was a senior in the hospital. I have a video here. It's just a short clip of who was at Pete Hill's and for a number of months. It was probably, I'm guessing, I wound up there. Probably 8 months before they were there, but he was homeless after that because when he was told that they got out of prison, took care of the personal reporting needs, part of their cleaning, and also created a huge garden in the backyard when he's had a green farm. So he really, you know, I see them with their seeds and everything. That's all the garden. And the little man, her mother had a prison. He had to leave because being a little slower, you know, it put her at risk of going back for protecting him. Still a little slower, however you say that. And so then he was homeless after that. Now I would take him in a heartbeat. I would have him with me in a heartbeat because when he's
Okay, thank you. Mr. Lee took the word for it, then there he got it, and he said the same thing, so I believe I have to do it too.
Now, when the meetings have been signed, it doesn't say anything about, I mean, the rules to say, we can become company, but the change of release. We can come visit the rules too, you know, I'm not gonna, I mean, it's just, it's so, we can't even, we can't stay for a week. We can get as a legacy because of the sexual rules. And then the meetings to 7 days without 100 years, the women will be around the check for a tenant. So, it's up to you to order the water and work in less than 2 days. 11/11/2022 for the release date. But you know, the other thing is, since 2019, so I just need permissions for that.
Mr. Ford, I have a date that we have with him as in November 11, 2018.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see if the board has any additional questions.
Oh, I do. I'm sorry. He was with you. I know his insurance, he had an insurance card, he had this in the desert. It is very hard to maintain his sense of humanity when he.
Sure, I do the right thing and get my health taken care of and say such a word, the way it went, he said, we can, I'm all out of state for you. And this just tells you, and I love you, Mom.
I love you too.
And that's it.
Okay, Mr. Stewart, Mr. Gilchrist, the boy was going to discuss this, and Mom's always been discussing, and I asked you to lay on the bomb. The United States of our boys are discussing, I need you to be settled down from your mom so that it's okay here. And then when the board shows some discussion, we'll make a determination when we vote, if we have to make a decision, so stay on the line, and we'll be back.
Yes, sir, okay?
Yes, sir. The board is now going to discuss, and we've had the opportunity to speak with Mr. Goodwin, as well as to his mother, his supporter, Mr. Stewart. And based on the information, it looks like he had a release date of November 11th of 2018. Mr. Stewart did get out, and according to both him and his mother, that he did start the beginning of a female who needed his assistance. And then when the bond got out of prison, or the person who he was being a caregiver, her daughter got out of prison, he had to move because he was concerned and she didn't say this, or he was homeless. But according to the report that we have, that she was Jacob was in the hospital after he was released from prison. He didn't do the Jesus job, and he had his brother back to his respective family. And according to the owner, he came into the office when he was released. He was with a female, he was going to lie, and he gave him some water that had like a deadly tank inside of the water. So he administered that use methamphetamine, as well as to use the marijuana while he was out. He has a little bit of a 3.5 month gap on his time since end date before he was released in November. I think it would be best for Mr. Goodwin to go ahead and complete his time in there, participate in any programs that they offer by any drugs while he's incarcerated. When he gets released, he'll be able to get out and run down any more of the supervision. He can visit with his mom, or by the way, he was called to where he may want to go, he'll be free to be able to move out and stay away from his home. He's not had any negative contact with law enforcement again. He wasn't in Scotland for 730 days. And in 2010, when he received some community supervision, he was in Scotland for 246 days. I just cannot remember the days that he was actually out there in Scotland. So, that is my opinion. I don't know. This is really important. This is the rest of my colleagues.
Okay.
Therefore, I am going to move to voluntary supervision of Mr. Goodwin, find that he was the legal violating the terms of his supervision and the absence of lawful access to permanent residence at our company. If he was in summer for 730 days, we don't know exactly what he was doing in that period of time. Now, when he was first released, according to the warrant, or the law officer, he did participate and use methamphetamine in that period of time. He also used marijuana at that time, so that would be my motion at this time.
Second. Agree.
Okay, so motion was by myself. Mr. Miller, who seconded?
I did, sir.
Mr. Quinones? Agree, Mr. Miller, and agree, Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Miller.
Yes, sir.
So the board is voting to revoke the community supervision. We will be released on November 11th of 2018, which is a little over 3 months from now. At the time that you release, sir, you won't be on any parole with the community supervision. At that time, you will be free to travel or go where you please. Not having anyone able to contact the law enforcement, have to come back to the board again. So that's one of the So I just want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity to participate in your hearing today, because we do want to see you back on the line, sir.